Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Holy Spirit, stir up in our hearts a passion and desire for you, for our Lord Jesus Christ, and for carrying out his message in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So I have to admit to you, sometimes, well, usually if we have time okay, who has a DVR? DVR, you know, you can record stuff. One of the shows that we geek out on is Jeopardy. We like to record Jeopardy. I don't know why I record Jeopardy, because most of the time I watch and I look at those questions and I look and I'm like, Especially the ones that use math. It's like, okay, that's over, I'm done with, right? And every once in a while, I'm really proud of myself because I get an answer right, especially the biblical answers. You know, I love when they do the biblical columns. I'm pretty good at that, but otherwise, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. There's another show I like to watch, and it's on the Game Show Network. I feel like a 90-year-old something, you know, sitting there watching TV at the Game Show Network. But anyways, I like the Game Show Network. And there's a show that comes on the Game Show Network called Idiot Test. Have any of you ever seen Idiot Test? Anybody? A few of you? Okay. That show is hard. I can't get the answers. I look at the answers and I look at these. What they do is they put these puzzles on there and they ask you these questions. And I look at them and Stephanie's over there going, yeah, this, this, and this. And she gets them right. And I feel like, Sometimes I just don't get it. Before the day of Pentecost, the disciples struggled to understand Jesus. They struggled to understand Jesus. They didn't get it. They couldn't get it. They struggled. They struggled with who this person was. In fact, throughout the New Testament, Jesus would often say, or the writer would often say, these things were hidden from them, from the disciples, because it was not yet their time to understand them. These things were hidden from the wise and the learned because it was not yet their time to understand them. Well, when is their time? I want to understand Jeopardy. I want to get every question right. I want to get Idiot Test right so I can go on there and win a lot of money. When is their time? Peter, one minute, he confesses Jesus as Lord and Savior. Beautiful, beautiful part of Scripture, isn't it? He's kneeling there. I can imagine him kneeling there and looking up to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then a few days later, what is he doing? I don't know the man. I've never heard of him. He denies Jesus. He doesn't get it yet. He's there, but he doesn't get it. And then there's Doubting Thomas. You got to love Doubting Thomas. Jesus is sitting there talking to his disciples about going to heaven and what heaven's going to be like, and that there's going to be a mansion there and everything's going to be great. And so I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And it sounds pretty awesome when Doubting Thomas says to Jesus, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How do we get there? And what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Doubting Thomas seems to get it, right? Until after the resurrection, then what does Doubting Thomas do? Oh, sure, Jesus appeared to you. Yeah, right. Yeah, I believe that. Unless I can place my finger in the nail marks on his hands and my fist in his side, I'm not going to believe. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and he calls Doubting Thomas forward, and Doubting Thomas is like, oh, gee, I guess this has been true all along. And then you've got to love the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were downtrodden. They didn't know what to believe. Jesus was dead. They felt like all of the world was gone. They were walking along that road, and they were doubting, and they didn't believe in Jesus. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up, and he starts talking to them. And this guy opens up Scripture to them. And this guy takes them inside the house, and he breaks bread. And all of a sudden, they realize all along, who was that guy? Who was it? Jesus. And what do they say after that? Were not our hearts burning within us as he taught us the word of God? Because they finally were getting it. You see, the disciples, one of the last examples here, the disciples, here the night that Jesus is betrayed, remember what they did after the dinner? Where did they go? Do you remember where they went? After the Lord's Supper, after dinner, after Passover meal, they went out to the garden, remember? And Jesus said, now you guys stay right here and you keep watch and you pray while I go over here for a minute, okay? And he comes back, and what are the disciples doing? They're sound asleep. They didn't get it. This is the reality of what happened. before the coming of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus had a greater plan in which he would reveal the truth, the power of the gospel in a way that would transform the world. Jesus had a greater plan in which he would reveal the truth to the disciples. You see, all along, Jesus kept telling the disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And by the way, you're not going to fully understand, he says, until the Helper comes, until the Advocate comes, until the Holy Spirit comes. And on that day, when the Holy Spirit comes, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will begin to understand everything I have taught you. You will begin to understand everything that I've commanded you. And you will have a passion and a desire to tell other people. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Here the disciples were gathered. They didn't know what was going on, and they were there, they were waiting in the city, as Jesus had said, because remember, just a week before this, 10 days before this was the ascension, right? And as Jesus ascended, he said, wait in the city, wait in Jerusalem, until power from on where? High comes to you, and you will know what to do. So they waited, and they waited. And they waited. And on the 10th day, as they were waiting and as they were praying, the Holy Spirit descends upon them. And immediately they knew Jesus. They believed. They had faith. They understood. They were baptized. They knew what was going on. And not only that, they went out into languages which they did not know to preach the gospel. The languages, now here's the thing, let me side note here. Pentecostals and a lot of people believe in speaking in tongues. This is where they get it wrong. They believe that speaking in tongues is some mystical language. No, the disciples were speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, which means it's the gift and the ability of being able to take another language, to learn another language, and share that gift in another language. For example, our missionaries, Cherie and Pastor Ed, they have learned Spanish fluently, and they're able to go and share Spanish and the gospel in Spanish and go into other countries to share Jesus. This is the way the tongues works, learning a language and sharing the gospel. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. People heard for the first time the gospel in their own language. For the first time, people heard the gospel in their own language. They heard about Jesus. They heard about the Jesus who came to die for them, to rise for them, and to save them, and to save you, and to save me. Now, I want to do a little contrast here for a minute. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel. You remember that story, right? What were the people doing in the Tower of Babel? What were they doing? They were building a tower, right? And what did they want that tower to do? To reach God, because they said, we can be like God, didn't they? And what did God do when he saw them building this tower? He let them do it, laughing, probably. You know, God has a sense of humor. Let them do it until they got to a certain point, and then what did he do? He dispersed them into different languages so that no one would have the power, again, to build a tower, to be reach God, and to be as powerful as him. On the day of Pentecost, God restored the language of the world, but it wasn't a spoken language. It was the Word. It was Jesus. You see, the people of God across the world have one common language. We are united in the language of Jesus. We are united in the gospel. We are united in the Word, the power of the Word, Jesus, the language of the universe. Today, Jesus reveals himself to us through the same Holy Spirit as he works in our lives in word and sacrament. Today, Jesus reveals himself to us through the Holy Spirit as he works in our in the word and in sacrament. Well, we just saw the baptism there, didn't we? And what happened in the baptism? The Word united with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Word. Jackson becomes God's child forever. His identity is now child of God. He belongs to God. Our gospel lesson for today, Jesus talks about streams of living water, and we hear that and we think, ooh, Jesus is the stream of living water, but that's not what Jesus said, was it? The stream of living water is the Holy Spirit that will come to you through faith, by faith, through the one common language of the Word, which is Jesus, that will come to you, and out of those streams of living water will flow life, and people will feed and drink upon those streams of living water, and they too will come to know Christ. In baptism, we see this happen. In the Lord's Supper, as we receive the Lord's Supper today, there with the word, bread and water, with the word, who is Jesus, the gospel is united. And there the Holy Spirit floods our hearts, floods our lives with forgiveness and joy and life eternal. The word that we hear, the word that we preach, the word we proclaim is the Holy Spirit working in Jesus so that we might be forgiven. The gospel, the word of Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are forgiven. You are restored. You are healed. You are mended. You are loved. You are God's children, holy and dearly loved. Because you belong to Him. You belong to Him by the power of the Word, the language, which is Jesus. You belong to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, which comes through that Word and grasps our heart and our lives to be Jesus forever. Just like those disciples who were sitting in that room that day and the tongues of fire came upon them and they had passion and they had faith, so too do you and I when the Holy Spirit grasps onto our lives. We have passion, we have joy, we have faith, we have forgiveness, we have eternal life, we have the resurrection of the dead. Because of Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's the reality. God's plan of salvation is perfect. God created us, Jesus redeemed and saved us, and the Holy Spirit guarantees that faith by giving it to us through Christ. What a wonderful God we have, who has chosen to take all the work on Himself so that we might belong to Him forever. In Jesus' name.